My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. As always, I appreciate all the support. You know, you all can download for free on Odyssey, of course, and wherever you get your podcast, you know, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, getting more downloads, more subscribers every day, and appreciate always, like I said. There's been a big topic in the hobby and the collecting of card industry recently, and it's this one-of-one Topps Now Olympic card with Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant. All three guys autographed this one card. Someone randomly is going to get it. Apparently, it's been released this week. I've seen people opening up online. I haven't gotten mine yet, but I want to bring somebody on who is a very experienced collector, knows all about this, and actually knows somebody who put quite a big bounty on it when this thing first came out, and that's Tyler Nethercott, also known as Teapot, VP of Product over at Sports Card Investor. Tyler, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here, Kang. Thanks for having me.
And for our local listeners, you're also a native of Michigander as well.
I am, yeah. I was born in Traverse City. My parents are from the northwest part of the Lower Peninsula, and then I grew up in Grand Rapids area. I've been a Georgia transplant for about 3 years now. So, but I'm still a big time Detroit sports fan, and I think Michigan will always kind of be home.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just get right to what I just mentioned real quick here is, you know, Topps this week has released that the 101, you know, Olympic card with the three guys I mentioned on it, autographed and everything like that. First of all, what do you think about that concept and what Topps did?
Yeah, Topps Now cards are becoming more and more ubiquitous, more and more popular. They're doing some, I think finally some creative things with it. This perhaps, I mean, actually obviously being the most notable, but they, you know, they started running serial numbered versions and parallels and kind of doing all these chases, obviously having autographs. You've got some, I mean, you've got some cool stuff going back a number of years. There's the famous Ronald Acuna Jr. and Shohei Ohtani dual auto. That's a Topps Now card. There's a lot of cool cards. But this one kind of takes the cake, and it's super notable because this is the first card in history that has an autograph from both Steph Curry and LeBron James on the same card. And then you add Kevin Durant into the mix to boot, who many would argue is the third best player. Some may even argue better than Curry. I don't hold that position, but certainly the three most notable guys of this particular era, kind of going back into the 2000s up until now. And the reason it's the first autograph for those two guys in particular is because Upper Deck held the exclusive licensing rights to LeBron James autographs all the way up until recently when Topps and Fanatics bought those rights out from Upper Deck. So we finally get Curry and LeBron coming together to sign a card, and then it's Team USA And obviously they won the gold medal this summer. So super iconic card, super notable, and it's a one of one. And suffice it to say, it seems to be there's a lot of demand for that card, including somebody I know pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to that too. But yeah, you just mentioned there's a lot of layers to this card, and that's why it's so sought after, and who knows how valuable it's going to be in the end when finally we get a number on it. But you mentioned the three guys signing the same card for the first time in history. The reason why it couldn't be done before with LeBron James and Upper Deck, the three, arguably, the three greatest players of this era, like you mentioned. And then on top of that, the story of them winning the gold medal, Steph Curry, last two games on that epic run, does the night golden, the gold dagger, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this card and a lot of reasons why a lot of people want it.
Yeah, in many ways, this was, it was a really interesting Summer Olympic Games because you had a lot of young talent on it. You sort of had Jason Tatum, infamously riding the bench the entire time. Tyrese Halliburton didn't get any play. Some of these young guys who are very much either currently kind of the face of the league or soon to be heir apparents, if you will. But it was really the veterans who completely took over and won that gold medal, especially, most notably Steph Curry in the semifinal and the gold medal match. So it was nice to see those guys show that they're still the ones in control, the ones in charge. I'm personally not a big LeBron fan at all because I'm a Detroit sports fan, and I felt like he kind of got handed the crown in the 2000s and all of the calls when it came to fouls and things like that. So I've never been able to root for LeBron, but he is obviously, one of the greatest players of all time. And so there's a lot of demand around this card. And I will say the most notable sale I've seen so far, it was not the autograph. They actually have different parallels of this card as well. There was a sale that was reported through eBay as a best offer accepted of $8,000 for the one of five orange parallel. So five of those in existence, and it was there was a one of five, and it sold supposedly for $8,000. So pretty expensive for a Topps Now, and not even for the one of one and the non-autograph.
Yeah, and that's just, like you mentioned, a parallel. So for those listening, it's not just the one of one that's valuable. They came out with parallels you can also get. So if you swing and miss on the one of one autograph, there's definitely other parallels. There's refractors, and those can be worth money as well too. I mean, yeah, debatable. I'm not the biggest LeBron guy either, but I got to respect his game on the court. He's of course one of the, arguably one of the best of all time. And this is probably the only time these three guys are going to be on the Olympic team together because they're up there in age, So that's another thing like that adds to it. Durant hasn't completely ruled out a one more Olympic run, but I think Steph and LeBron have basically said like, this is probably it for them.
Yeah, I have to imagine this is the end for them. I mean, Steph, it'll be really interesting to see how much career he still has in front of him. Obviously, early in his career, 2009 rookie, early in his career, he had the ankle concerns, but he's been pretty healthy, largely speaking, throughout his career since then. And he's obviously in really good condition. I mean, the guy just runs all over the court nonstop, kind of like Rip Hamilton used to do. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him still play many more years. LeBron can't have many more. He and I are the same exact age. He can't have, I mean, I know he keeps also.
You're in similar shape too as LeBron, right?
Yeah, obviously the viewers can't see me, but I'm even more athletic than LeBron actually. it does seem like this will be the last time these guys get together. And Durant, some people have argued that this card, the auto in particular, would actually have been more sought after and more valuable if had only had Steph and LeBron on it and not Durant. I think that's crazy talk, especially because it's a Team USA card and Durant actually just basically took the crown for the winningest player in Team USA history. So he's, he's played, this is his fourth Olympics that he's played in. And so he's been, obviously a big part of that Team USA squad. And just maybe for a little context, we kind of left out how these Topps Now cards sort of come to be, or what is a Topps Now. These are like printed to demand cards that sort of capture iconic moments in sports history as they happen.
Yeah,
so you obviously have packs.
Yeah,
real time. You have these, which is cool. You have packs and boxes that are sort of scheduled way ahead of time and require a lot of lead time and planning and design and photograph selection and all of this stuff. And then they stagger that down a release calendar throughout the year. But with these Topps Now cards, they sort of come up with a design on the spot. And then they print them to demand. So they open a window, like a 12-hour buying window on the Topps website or a 24-hour buying window. And you can go order as many as you want. They'll start out at sometimes like $5 a piece, $10. These ones were $10. If you buy in volume, you get a discount. So like I bought 10 of them. I'm still waiting for them to come in the mail.
Yeah, me too.
And so then you buy 10 and it was like $70 or something like that. And I believe the number, the total number after that window of buying the print to demand number just for the base cards was like 568,000, which was massive. I don't remember.
It's the most popular. It's the most popular one they've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and it's a nice looking card. Topps does some really unique things with Topps Now, where the back has sort of this like rainbow foil now logo across it. They're good quality card. Usually the condition is printed really well too, like the quality control on Topps Now cards. And then the last thing they did that was super wild with this is instead of just giving you the parallels, like basically in your little case, that's the acrylic case that the Topps Now cards generally come in, they are actually giving packs. So you could find a pack inside, which will have one card in it, and it may or may not contain the auto or what I'm assuming will be a redemption card for the auto.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to put the auto out in the mail like that and chance it to our friends at USPS. But that's kind of introduced another curveball to this, because if you or I get that pack, what are we doing? Are we going to open it? Are we going to throw it up on eBay?
I just saw, hey, it's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, Tyler, I just saw some people selling the packs unopened allegedly, right? For like a certain amount of money because, hey, here's your shot, which was a brilliant move by Topps. Now, if I don't know if they thought of that or they accidentally fell into that, but it's brilliant because that's another.
So several of these packs have supposedly sold for like $1,000 to $2,000 a piece.
Oh my gosh.
Which is crazy, sealed, you know, unopened. So, and the longer we go without the autograph, you know, surfacing, the more the value of those will go up. But then obviously if you hold the pack and the auto surfaces, you know, it's the ultimate golden ticket chase, and it's fun. I think it was pretty fun idea.
Yeah. Like you said, if someone does come up publicly and say, hey, I got the 101 redemption. Yeah. The value of the packs is definitely going to drop after that, but there are other parallels, like you mentioned, you know, they could still chase. And I think the market will adjust accordingly to that. You know, right now they're high because the 101 redemption hasn't surfaced yet.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So you mentioned it earlier, you may or may not know somebody who really wanted this card. And as soon as this was announced out, you know, everyone went, of course, and you had like, I think it was actually a 2-day window on this card where people could go on the website and buy the card. Your boss, Jeff Wilson, the guy you report to at Sports Card Investor, he put out a video, or I forget if it was a tweet or a video, and said, hey, I'm a big Olympic basketball fan. I love the, you know, history of it and all that stuff. I really want this card. If you pull this card, I'm offering, I believe at the time it was $100,000 bounty, right? Can you tell me a little bit and the listeners more about that?
That's right. So when it came out that this card was going to be the big chase, I saw it on Instagram and I immediately texted Jeff and said, check this out. And he was like, oh boy, let the games begin. So Jeff's office at our headquarters, our Sports Card Investor headquarters in Cards HQ, which is a big card shop in Atlanta close to Truist Park where the Braves play. His office is tricked out with so much Team USA stuff. He's got a signed Clyde Drexler Team USA jersey and a signed, I think, Dominique Wilkins jersey. He's got two basketballs signed by two different entire Team USA teams. He's got all kinds of stuff. Jeff has always loved Team USA Olympic basketball, going back to the Dream Team. And so when he saw this card, he was like, I've got to go after it. So he started asking me and a few others in the office, like, what do you guys think this card is worth? I think at the time I just said, ultimately with something like this, it comes down to just the two people who want it the most. Everybody else doesn't matter, because you get into the final bidder mode. You could have 50 people who want to pay $50,000 for this card, and then 4 people who want to pay $100K. But if the final two are just like, I don't care what it takes, I'm getting this card, you put it on open auction, that thing can go to the moon. And that's what happens with a lot of really important, and especially one-of-one cards or cards that never surface. So I said, I don't know. I could see this card being anywhere from, you know, $75,000 to $250,000, I think was the number I gave my, you know. But then I said, in the world we live in, who knows if two people wanted it up, maybe it's a $1 million card for all I know. I have no idea. And so he put out a bounty initially out into the internet basically, and said, whoever pulls this card, I will give you $100,000 plus a VIP treatment to come to our Cards HQ headquarters in Atlanta. I will fly you here, $100,000 cash wire. And then we'll rip whatever box you want in the shop. We can do content on our SCI channel about this, where we have, I think, close to 350,000 YouTube subscribers. And so he sort of dangled the carrot, right? And then the dominoes started to happen. Suddenly you've got some card shop saying, we'll do 125,000. I think Ken Golden came out and said, I'll do 150,000. Then Jeff came back and said, well, I'll do 150,000 plus XYZ. And ultimately where the dust has settled is that Jeff said he will do, basically he wants the card to go to open auction with Sotheby's Auctions. Sotheby's, obviously very famous auction house for all kinds of high-end collectibles, art and other things. And Jeff said, I will place a unretractable $250,000 bid guaranteed on that auction. And then if anybody else wants to go above that, they're free to do it and they'll get the card. I'm not going to get it, but you'll get more money. So that's sort of his like final carrot. Ken Golden of Golden Auctions, the Golden or King of Collectibles on Netflix. He's still jockeying, still saying, whoever gets this, make sure to pick up the phone and call me. Supposedly another big breaker or auction or card shop put out a bounty for $500,000 on the card. At one point, Giannis was in our comments saying he would double whatever the best offer was, but he's since deleted that comment.
Yeah, I felt like Giannis, he didn't know. He just parachuted into this and said, I'll double whatever. Yeah. And then someone's like, dude, it's going to be a million. He's like, wait a second.
He thought it was like 15K or something. Just sort of like, yeah, whatever. He'd have to drop a few more 50 pieces to maybe feel good about that spend. But he's got the money, so who knows? Maybe he'll be the final bidder.
I actually love watching this from afar, you know, just grab my popcorn and like, I believe the card shop was called Grand Slam Collectibles in Tennessee somewhere. But yeah, they offered a 500K bounty that, you know, straight cash and anonymity and all that stuff. And then Ken, you're right about Ken getting on the video and saying, hey, I don't know what you're going to do, but at least call me, you know, like just give me a phone call, 30 seconds, you know, and if you don't choose me, then that's fine, but give me a call before you do anything.
The guys with the $500,000 bounty did put some stipulations on it, specifically that I think you had to send it to Beckett for grading to BGS, and then it needed to get like either a 9 or a 9.5 guaranteed for them to like pay it out, or they weren't going to do it. And like, if I'm looking at that, $500,000 is a lot of money. Obviously, I'd be looking closely at the condition of the card, but most people are going to want this in a PSA slab. And so that'd be kind of an interesting turn of events to see Beckett land this whopper in that regard. But it's going to be fun. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my cards to come. The internet will lose its mind if I manage to actually get this card. I'm sure it won't happen for that reason, maybe more than anything else. But that'd be quite the drama. Jeff Wilson in his bounty, his VP gets the card.
Yeah, his VP of product also, and it's not him. I mean, also you're gonna be the most favorite employee there, Tyler.
I would be. I might already be. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
We have a really great team and tons of great employees. But yeah, I'm just excited to see the card surface.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Why don't you explain to people that aren't familiar with Sports Card Investor and Market Movers exactly like what you guys do for the collecting industry and the hobby?
Yeah, for sure. I'll give kind of the maybe 2 to 3 minute history lesson on it. So Jeff Wilson, who's my boss, is kind of a serial entrepreneur. He ran a digital tech agency for 20 years locally out of Tampa and Atlanta, and he started getting back into cards. He collected when he was a kid. He worked in a card shop one day before getting fired when he was a kid. And he got back into it with his sons, specifically his older son at the time, who was like 8. And that was back in 2019. And they started buying packs and, you know, just kind of trying to get caught up to speed. And then Jeff thought, you know, I think there's a lot of investment potential in these cards and in the market. And he saw that it was gaining popularity again and figured, well, if I've got this bug, you know, as a childhood collector, and it's getting me excited, I'm sure there's other people out there who this is going to happen to too. So he started a podcast and YouTube channel, Sports Card Investor, out of his basement closet. with some basic stuff, basic equipment, and just sort of hit record. And he started manually creating charts and graphs by copying and pasting eBay data into an Excel spreadsheet and generating these charts. And it got real popular. I was like subscriber number 50 to his YouTube channel as I had gotten back into the hobby in 2019 as well. And he just started kind of gaining steam, started a Discord server. I became a moderator in there. I think that Discord has like 30,000 people in it now, today for sports cards, sports and trading cards, and just started kind of snowball, gaining momentum. Ultimately partnered with Charles, who is our head of video and graphic design. And he was like editing the videos for Jeff and kind of helping him with his production quality. And then I messaged Jeff in December of 2019 and said, you know, why don't you work on an app to start like actually creating these charts and graphs and you know, do this automatically instead of, you know, in an automated fashion instead of doing this in Excel. And he said, I've got something. I'm working on it right now. Would love to have you in there as a beta tester when it's ready. And so my background was in finance, special projects, innovation, and data management. And then I was getting, you know, very heavily back into the card industry. So all those things sort of coalesced. And we launched Market Movers in February of 2020, which is a paid collection tracking and price comping app, which has today almost 4 million cards that we track in it, as well as a few hundred thousand sealed products. We ingest data from 11 different online marketplaces, including eBay, many of the big auction houses, as well as Cards HQ retail data, which is our card shop. So a lot of features. You know, plans kind of starting at as low as like $7 a month with a coupon code, and all the way up, you know, from there, depending on how people want to use it. And we've been running Market Movers. We have a free app called our Sports Card Investor app, which is completely free to use. It has all the same data. It gives like a 30-day view, sort of card rankings based on sales price changes and sales volume. Very easy to search, very popular. And then we have a price guide that's embedded into sportscardinvestor.com to look up all those cards for free too. So that's what I've been working on now for 4.5 years, 4 years full-time with Jeff. And then we do a lot of content. So we have our Sports Card Investor YouTube channel. And then we also have our Market Movers channel, which is where I do a video once a week, kind of do what we call data dives, using Market Movers, getting into price trend changes, who's hot, who's not, you know, who's, you know, could be going up based on, you know, the upcoming season or playoffs or that type of thing. And then I also just do a lot of educational content. That's been a lot of my focus recently, is just trying to help people who are getting into the hobby for the first time, not get burned. You know, don't make these mistakes. Here's how to get your cards graded. Here's how to price your cards. Here's where and how to sell them. All those types of just basic things, which actually dovetailed really nicely into Sports Card Investing and Collecting for Dummies book that we wrote too. So I'm kind of living and breathing in the world. It's been a lot of fun. You know, honestly, it's been a blur, but this is by far my favorite job I've ever had. And it's honestly kind of a privilege to get to do it every day.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you get to work with cards and then things that you probably would be doing in your free time anyways, like looking up certain things, maybe not as in depth, of course, but, you know, you're still going to be looking certainly things up like this. But now you're getting paid to do it. And so yep, you had a finance background and there's a lot of numbers and stats that go into all this stuff. And especially if you're investing, you know, how do you like what the X factor, though, has got to be like player popularity. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times people come to me and like, this guy's a really good player. I don't understand why his cards aren't worth more. But to me, it's not just how good a player is. It's honestly market, right? Where he plays and how popular he is, how desirable his cards are, all this stuff. How do you put that X factor into like a formula, you know, Tyler? Like, yeah. Hey, this is what's going to happen, or this is what we think is going to happen.
I do. Yeah. And you're right. It's not just statistical performance. And I'll say one thing. Every sport is different. So there are things that are sort of universal across the different sports, but each of the major sports has their own quirks too. And so like in football, for example, quarterbacks, almost exclusively quarterbacks, are the ones that have all the value. Like even running backs, receivers, yes, they have some value, you know, Aaron Donald, JJ Watt, like some of the all-time great defensive players, Ray Lewis, they have some value, but not compared to quarterbacks. Like quarterbacks are the money, and by far a big part of the focus. So it's very positional. In basketball, big men historically haven't had the same value as like talented guards and especially like wing type players. You got obviously like MJ and Kobe, but like the all-time great players, Shaq and Tim Duncan are probably two of the most undervalued players in basketball cards.
Incredibly undervalued.
Yeah. And they're obviously like two of them, you know, two of the winningest and most dominant players in history. Duncan's pretty much the consensus top power forward of all time. You know, Shaq, it's tough when you get into the conversation about centers because there's so many good ones historically, but these guys haven't really had a ton of value. Baseball pitchers don't have nearly the value. Even like the Justin Verlander of the world don't command anywhere near the value that the top hitters will, even young prospects. So I did a video on this back in May of this year. I think it was the second Saturday of May. There are a bunch of different factors that can kind of go into this, from a player's age, the team dynamics, whether or not they're winning, is it a winning team, are they losing, draft pedigree, was this a highly drafted player, because there's always just hype baked into that, how athletic is the player, do they have highlight reel dunks or big catches or big, you know, power hits, what's their play style like in general. Obviously their stats are incredibly important. But then there's like their persona. What's their Instagram following like? How many people are a fan of them?
Yeah,
just like look at jersey sales is a really good indicator. Jersey sales and even something like Google Trends, just to see how much are these players being looked up? Do they have a presence for good or for bad?
Who are they dating?
Who are they? Yeah, don't even. Yeah, get me started.
Seriously though, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, when you have that type of exposure, all of a sudden, Travis Kelce's, you know, jersey sales are going to the moon and his cards all of a sudden are popular, and suddenly card collectors decide they want Taylor Swift cards on top of it. So yeah, all that stuff can kind of come into play. And then a lot of it has to do with, there's like very different dynamics between what we call like prospecting and like short-term speculation for young guys, like rookies or in baseball, actual like minor league prospects, and like kind of hoping they're going to be something good versus like more established active players, where yes, LeBron, yes, Steph have big time value. Durant way less than the two of them. Then you get into like the next tier and all of a sudden like the card prices just have come down on a lot of those players. So it can get it kind of gets down to, I say, like two players from every generation really carry strong value and go up steadily over time. Many of the other players, not so much. So there's a lot of risk in the short term and a lot of money pulled into the like hottest new player in whatever league. But I say it all the time, the sports card market is like mostly irrational. It's mostly irrational. Baseball collectors more than anybody, I think, because they're more statistically inclined in things like look at war and they look at how a player performs. They've even focused less on like, how many World Series have they won? Because baseball's so, you can't control a game or an outcome as a baseball player like you can basketball or even football. So
I mean, look at Trout and Ohtani on the same team and didn't even make the playoffs.
Didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, there's just so many. It's you know, you got so many players on the roster, so it can, you know, it's just harder to control it. And then baseball playoffs are always just wacky. The wild card teams win half the time. So.
But it's also baseball's nuts because too, that like you mentioned prospecting, they have the most prospects. Like you could prospect, I mean, down the line of guys that you're not going to see for 3, 4, 5 years even.
Yeah. And sometimes you never see them.
Yeah.
And that can go very wrong. There was a bounty put out earlier this year for Drew Jones's Bowman Chrome Superfractor 1/1 auto. So it's his best card. Any baseball player, when you're talking about it, their best card is their Bowman Chrome Superfractor Prospect First Auto. It's a big mouthful, but it's basically their first most notable card, autographed, on card, autograph, and then it's what we call Superfractor, which is a 1/1. And Drew Jones, he's in Double A right now. He hasn't even sniffed the major leagues, and he's honestly struggling so far in the minor leagues. He's only 20 years old. He's the son of Andrew Jones, you know, Braves all-time great. But sometimes these guys never make it, and the bounty that was put out on that card was $500,000. So it is pretty wild how much risk certain people are willing to take on these players, spending big money. Ellie De La Cruz is one of one Topps Chrome Superfractor rookie auto. So not his prospect auto, but his rookie auto just sold for $116,000 on Golden Auction this last weekend. So people are putting big money. Jackson Holliday's, the same card for Jackson Holliday went from the 60,000s. Tons of risk. And I can tell you the vast majority of those cards will go down in value over time and significantly. So you could see that Jackson Holliday card go down to like $300 within 5 years if he just doesn't end up being a good, you know, Major League Baseball player. So pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely wild. It's so I always tell people too, not only just, you know, collect what you love, but also collect within your means, you know, even, yes, whether you're collecting or you're investing, just, you know, hey, make sure it's within your means. And these, absolutely, things, you mentioned earlier, it can be very irrational, the market for sports, yep, cards.
Yeah. And I mean, the flip side of it is you can make a lot of money. There are a lot of different ways to make money. I'm going to be doing a video pretty soon on some of the different ways that you can make money in the sports card hobby. And there's some ways that are a lot more reliable, like trying to buy really well conditioned raw cards and getting them graded. And there are sort of like speculation tactics that are a little more proven. For example, when a highly rated prospect gets called up into the major leagues, almost always, like 90% of their time, their card prices spike on that like 4-day window, and then they come down. It's just like this big hype cycle because they're finally making the major leagues. It happens very consistently with those players, with the top prospects. So that's one way that people like to do it. But you can make a lot of money. You know, I've made a good amount of money just kind of playing that game, and then I've used it. They can't, you know, the viewers can't see it, but you can. My office has got shelves everywhere with cards, and I'm a big time collector, far more than I am kind of focused on the money. I've just used the money that I've made.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I do too. Yeah, I agree with you, Tyler. Like, let's say I've sold cards before, of course, you know, and it flipped this or whatever. But honestly, it's to fuel like maybe my PC, and we'll get to your very unique PC in a moment here. But yeah, it's really because I collect Jordan cards. The problem with that is he ain't cheap. You know,
he's like, no, he's not.
So I got to be selective, and then I got, you know, I got to find ways to, you know, make a buck here or there, and then invest that into my Jordan stuff, because that's what I collect, and I like looking at that, and I'm surrounded by Michael Jordan cards, as you are surrounded by the things you love to collect and things like that. So, you know, let's just get right to it. You have an awesome PC, I think, because I feel like, and I'll spotlight this on people I put on the podcast, their PC, because I PC Michael Jordan. I mean, that is nothing like, you know, to write home about. Everyone knows who Michael Jordan is. A lot of people collect Michael Jordan. He's not hard to find in general. Maybe certain cards are, but Jordan cards are everywhere. They're out in people's showcases and stuff. Like to talk to collectors about their unique PCs. I've had people that collect, you know, Chris Chambers, the receiver from Wisconsin and the Dolphins. I've had people who only collect, Kenny Golladay. I mean, talk about a guy who's not in the league anymore, you know, things like that. You collect someone local as well, a former Detroit athlete. Tell the people who you PC, which is pretty unique.
Yeah. So when I got back into cards, well, first of all, when I was a kid, I collected Penny Hardaway and I collected Gary Payton, and I had a very small Juwan Howard PC, which made no sense because I wasn't a Michigan fan and I thought his jump shot was incredibly goofy, but I just wound up with a bunch of his cards from the few packs that my parents would get me. And there was just sort of a little side PC. But those are the guys I collected when I was a kid. I didn't collect Grant Hill because my best friend collected Grant Hill. I didn't collect Michael Jordan because, one, my other best friend collected Michael Jordan, but also he was a Bulls fan. And my dad raised me that we were Pistons fans. And we hated the Bulls.
I get it.
So he's like, you know, I was the kid crying every year, rooting for every team playing the Bulls in the, you know, conference finals or the actual finals, and then, you know,
especially
seeing
the year that he played Peyton.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, the Sonics and the Jazz, those two were the biggest heartbreaks. So I was collecting those guys when I was young, pretty much exclusively basketball cards when I was a kid. And then when I, you know, got back into it in 2019, I was like, I really want to collect a Pistons player, but the Pistons have been so middling to terrible over the last 10 plus years. You know, who am I going to collect? It's got to be an active player. And the choice was really simple. It was Andre Drummond. He was, you know, he was the best player on their team, an all-star, one of the best rebounders of all time. He's kind of a fun guy, honestly. He's actually a really fun guy to like just listen to in interviews, and I think he seems pretty down to earth. And so I thought I'm gonna like start picking up some Drummond cards, just like kind of do that. I didn't have any like major ambitions or anything, and I went onto a website called Check Out My Cards, comc.com, comc. And I was shocked when I could buy almost all of his cards from the 2018 Optic set, like the complete parallel rainbow, all these different variations.
Yeah.
I bought like all but three of them, the one of ones and like one of the golds, I think, for like $38.
Oh my God.
And like total.
What?
And I was like, oh, well, I can get like this whole rainbow set of this guy and then just kind of keep my eyes peeled for these other cards. And so that's what I did. And then it became a little bit of like an addiction. So I was going after 2018 Prism. And I remember when I got my first one of one, and then I got my second one of one, and I've honestly lost count now. I think I have like 87 one of ones of Andre Drummond.
Are you kidding me?
I have like multiple complete rainbows from multiple years of Prism and Optic, including the 2018 Prism set. I have that whole rainbow. I'm like two cards shy on 2019. I have three of his Nebulas. I have a lot of his cards. And I've pretty much had to like make a decision now to sort of whittle it down and say, I'm not trying to get duplicates. I'm not trying to get non-Pistons jersey stuff. So I've actually got some one of ones I'm probably going to sell because they're like Cavs and Philly and Laker jersey stuff. And then, I've also, for whatever reason with him in particular, it was always more about the parallels than anything else, like doing the rainbow chasing thing with his cards. So like trying to go after every other Immaculate and NT flawless type card with, you know, these patch autos, like I've got several of those, including some rookies, but those aren't the ones I'm going after. And like many times those are the ones that are the most expensive and kind of the ones that I'm like, well, if I'm going to spend like a few hundred dollars or more on a card, I'm going to get like a really cool 90s Grant Hill insert that's hard to come by, or a Giannis or something else that is going to carry a little bit more value long term. So, Andre Drummond is definitely like, let's call it like my main PC, but it's also at this point, like almost a completely closed PC because there's very few cards that I still need. There are still some one of ones.
I don't know how they rank this or anything, because people have always said I'm like the number two ranked Jokic collector in the world. Like you have to be the number one Andre Drummond collector in the world, right?
I have to think so. I don't really know how. It depend how you quantify that. Some people may have like I said, like a whole, you know, closet full of his RPAs or something like that. Like there might be a hoarder kind of on certain cards, but when it comes to those sets, Prism Optic Select, I've got a lot of those things locked down as well as other cards. And I did hear there was a guy out of Michigan who's like in some Facebook group who is a big collector. And then this other guy on Instagram, who's like, he collects like rebounders, like big rebounders. So he collects all the, any great all time great rebound players, even like scrubs who were just good at rebounding.
Yeah. Right. Chris Dudley.
I mean, there's just like a lot of guys, Omer Ashik and like guys like that. He's like, let me get this, you know, 4.5 offensive boards a game. But he bought one of Drummond's Prism Gold, to 10 rookie cards. And he told me that he got it from this guy who has like three of them. I'm like, well, who is this guy? And then he wouldn't tell me who it was. I'm like, I don't know how to find this guy. He might be the one that's holding the last few like Prism Black one of ones that I need.
Oh,
you know,
God.
So
that's great.
Somebody's out there competing for these cards, and like Drummond's cards, believe it or not, have actually gone up in value like pretty significantly since I bought them many years ago, most of them. So I don't know. He's a popular guy. He's having a little bit of a career resurgence after a few years. People were like, oh, we don't need a player like this. And all of a sudden everybody realized last year that they need people who can rebound. But so I collect Drummond, and then I'm big into 90s stuff still. So I collect a lot of 90s inserts. I collect Detroit sports in general, Tigers. I've got a really cool like Verlander atomic, you know, card. Like just, I have a lot of cards, very eclectic. I collect Star Wars, Marvel, it's all cards for the most part. And I've been really intentional about keeping it to cards because the last thing I need to do is start getting interested in signed balls and jerseys and things like that. Or my wife's just going to like put a padlock on my office and say, I'm not even allowed in here anymore.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I've tried to like think about sometimes like, do I start consolidating my collection at all? Because on this podcast, the kind of the tagline is if you can collect it, I'll talk about it. So we talk memorabilia, we talk shoes, we talk, you know, baseballs, bats, everything. I mean, we talk toys, we talk,
oil cans.
Yeah, exactly. Oil cans. Yeah. If you can buy it, if you can sell it, they'll buy it. Sometimes I think like you, I'm like, I got to consolidate, right? Like maybe do I get rid of all my base Jordan cards from the 90s that are worth like $3 each? So I keep these, but then I look and I'm like, oh, I love these 92 hoops cards. I don't know. You know,
I know. Listen, I know you've had Cajun on your podcast before, and he had an episode of his show on YouTube that I listened to where he was basically like, you don't need to consolidate if you don't want to. And he talked about his collection and how he doesn't want to be the guy to consolidate, you know, like 500 really sweet Jordans down into like the three most expensive ones of all time. That's not how he wants to collect. He likes the variety and everything. And I do too. I think the key is, you know, cards are meant to be displayed. They're meant to be like looked at, not just put into a box. And so, you know, for at least all my cards that are non-autos that won't like really have fading issues and things like that, I'm like filling the walls in my office at home with shelves. And then the main thing is I just have to keep my little kids out of here so they don't destroy everything just yet. They can appreciate it when they're a little bit older, but it's cool. I am curating. It's okay to curate. It's okay to realize you don't like something as much as you used to and, you know, swap it out or, you know, you can look at a card. I've gotten cards in the mail and just gone, I don't really like this. And then I just sell it and I take a loss. Like it's just a mistake. It's like, oh shoot. You know, I take a hit on the fee or I just find somebody else and sell it for 10% less than I just paid for it or whatever. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But to your point, I have like binders and binders full still of Penny Hardaway and Gary Payton cards and things like that. And I look at them and I'm like, I could probably sell this for like $300-$400 and then put that into a really cool insert. But like, these are memories. These are like history. They're art. It's like chronicling the evolution of products over time. There's so many aspects to it. So I'm not quite ready. I'm not ready to pull the trigger on that.
Dude, Gary Payton would be an awesome PC. And I'm sure there's a bunch of guys in Seattle or something that have done that, but that would be a really cool PC guy, I think. Cause I'm a 90s guy.
At one point I was trying, like I sort of had the audacious goal and I actually have a binder that has every single spot reserved in like alphabetical and chronological order for every Gary Payton card in a binder. And then I had like a spreadsheet that I was sort of tracking it with. And I was like, this might take me 30 years, but at some point I'm going to get one of every single Gary Payton card. And I just kind of gave up on it, mostly because right about when I started to try to do that, stuff sort of took off in basketball, like back during COVID. And then I was just like, but I like so many other things. I'm never going to get a green precious metal gems.
Yeah. Right.
You know, number to 10. Like I'm just, it's not going to happen. So I kind of gave up on that goal. But it is still pretty fun to, I don't know, just kind of catalog and organize things. I've got like a binder of like players with really funny names. I've got a binder of like color match cards where the parallel matches the team jerseys. I've got all sorts of little mini collections that are fun, kind of fun ways. You can do refractor runs and just try to get like one of every year's refractor for a player.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A lot of different ways to go, you know, go.
It's endless. It's endless, Tyler. And so, like, yeah, my wife and friends that don't collect, they're like, don't you have it all or don't you? I'm like, you have no idea. There's like, it's endless. You can find different ways to collect. There's shadow cards, right? I don't know if you want to go there, things like that. This is, it's endless, but
it's 25 million cards. I've got so many more to go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, why don't you tell people your Instagram so they can check out all the Andre Drummond cards that you do have?
Sure. Yeah. So primarily most active on the Instagram account, which is Drummond Card Collector, all one word, at Drummond Card Collector. That's just kind of the one where I've had the longest. One of the things that kind of stinks about Instagram is it's not really made for card collectors. It's great for community and it's obviously very visual with the pictures and, you know, some of the things you can do with your stories and stuff, but I created secondary accounts and like a tertiary account for like organizing my collections. One thing I really appreciate about certain accounts on Instagram is like when they're named aptly and then like I can go to their page and see like a very curated collection. So I sort of decided I don't want to like intermingle everything else I have. I don't want some like, you know, Jabba the Hutt card on a Drummond page. Like it doesn't make any sense. So I have another one called at Teapots Cards, TPOTTS Cards, which is kind of like my everything else. Like that's where you'll see really nice pictures, you know, cropped and labeled and pack odds and things. And I just sort of share that. And you guys, sometimes it's a dollar card. Sometimes it's, you know, much more expensive. And then one specific sub PC I have is I'm really into great photography on cards. And so I have an account called Stadium Club Cards, and it's mostly top Stadium Club stuff, but also like other Topps image variations and Panini Luminance and stuff like that. Just stuff that captures the emotion and action of sports on cardboard. That's kind of what that account's dedicated to. So running three different accounts and hard to keep up with DMs and things. If you want to message me, hit me up on Card Collector.
Drummond Card Collector. Check him out, people. Tyler Nethercott, VP of Product at Sports Card Investor. Appreciate you joining me, man. I'm going to have you back on the show if you'll come back on.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. And if anybody's interested in, you know, tracking their collection, you know, learning, like I said, we've got a free app, completely free Sports Card Investor app, and our sportscardinvestor.com website to find prices and look at that. If you're a little bit more serious and you want to track your collection, try out Market Movers. You can go to marketmoversapp.com And at checkout, if you use the code DIVE, D-I-V-E, it'll get you 14 days and 20% off any of the plans. So we're just trying to build products with data to support the hobby at any level, free, you know, free to paid. It's a lot of fun doing it.
Yep. There you go, people. Hit those websites up if you're curious and use the code to get, you know, a little bit of discount there, man. Tyler, appreciate it. Like I said, I'll have you on again. And if you do hit that card, you know, we'll definitely have you back on again when you finally get your top snout card.
I might have a line of podcast requests and death threats if that happens. I don't know.
You'll definitely be busy, man. German collector will be blowing up with the direct messages and the PM.
Yeah. But thanks for having me, Kang. This has been a lot of fun, always happy to talk Detroit sports or come back on and do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're ever in Michigan, please hit me up. I'm always the good thing about Michigan is I don't know if you haven't been here in like 3 or 4 years, whatever.
I've been up, yeah.
Yeah, there's like always a card show now, like every weekend, honestly. It wasn't awesome. Small or medium size, you know, it's just nice to go out and see different collections and you never know what you'll find, people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, there's more and more shops opening in Michigan all the time, as with, you know, so many other places. I think the hobby's in a really good spot, and I got to get back up there and try to check out some of them. So
absolutely, and the lines are good now. So I mean, it's you know, everyone.
The lines are, yeah, I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to say anything nice about them. I refuse. So.
All right. There we go. All right, guys. Appreciate you listening and all the downloads and all support. Remember, if you can collect it, I'll talk about it and collect what you love. Thanks, guys.
Works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.